Last night, I mean, not last night, the last service night that we had quite a few thoughts from different ones, but they didn't turn them in because we elaborated a little bit, but it was took up most of the time on one question that was asked. I've got to start answering a few more questions because we have so many questions come in. Like Brother Lynn, he came to me and he said, Brother Pike, what are we going to do about some of these questions that's been asked from people around the different parts of the world where they write in? They write from the different parts of the world to get hold of our literature. And some of them are stirred. I mean, they're greatly stirred. They say that it has brought healing to them, where they've just read tracts and they've been divine delivered. And they said it was a real genuine miracle or a real genuine healing. And they're stirred about different things, and they get into things that they want to ask questions about, and they write. And Sister Betty's been to me about this before and some of the others. And I told Lynn the only answer I know is to have a regular time at different intervals where we can just answer those Bible questions or answer the questions of the people's heart and put it on tape and just send it over there to them to where that they can understand. Any correspondence is a little bit hard to explain it in just letter writing, the different ones it's writing. It's a little problem for them. But there's a way to do it. And I'm going to have to give a little more time to it. Now, I want to read something here. I've read it to you a number of times, but I want to read it again. I keep bringing it back to your remembrance because this is a serious hour that we're living in. How many of you understand the seriousness of the hour that we're living in? This is one of the most serious times there's ever been in the history of the world. Because we're living at the coming of the Lord Jesus. And everything is just right. All the signs of the time show that His coming is at hand. And the thing that is so amazing about the hour in which we live is that many hundreds and thousands upon thousands of religious people will miss His coming. As it was in the days of the Jews. They were watching. They were Bible scholars. And they watched closely and they studied the law of Moses, and still they missed the coming of the Messiah. He was standing in their midst. He had come and they didn't see Him and they didn't recognize Him. See, and the Bible said He'll come like a thief in the night to steal away the jewels. That doesn't mean that the coming of the Lord will not be. It doesn't mean that He won't come in the clouds. It doesn't mean that every eye won't see Him. For the Bible said He shall break the heavens, come in the clouds. Every eye shall see Him, and they that crucified Him shall narrowly look upon Him. It doesn't mean that He won't be back in His human body. For He will be back in His human body. As you've seen Him go away, the Scripture tells us, so shall He return again. He'll come the same way. He went up there from the Mount of Olives. He'll return there at the Mount of Olives to judge the world. So it doesn't mean that He's not coming back according to Paul's teachings as to Thessalonians or the change. But what it does mean is that there is a secret coming of Christ. Not Jesus, but Christ. And there is a coming of Christ to the Gentiles in secret to steal away the jewels. And that He'll come in secret. And in the coming of this great, wonderful event, that He will catch His bride and He'll be gone away. And then as to the returning of the body, Jesus to the Jews with the nail prints in His hand, when the whole house of Israel will be converted and begin to mourn, a nation shall be born in one day. As the head of the Jewish people, as He died at Calvary, the entire body died.
in Revelation, the 6th chapter, and in the 6th seal, it is shown to us how that at this particular time of the dying of Jesus, how that the stars fell from heaven. And Jesus spoke of it, saying, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And there as in the 6th seal, the rending of the heavens, as to the rending of the veil at Calvary, and the Ark of the Covenant is thus seen. For as the Bible said, making a more sure way to God, that is to say, through His flesh, having rent the veil of His own flesh, He brought forth the inner Christ, as to the covenant of Almighty God. For the Bible said that the temple was rent in twain. And I say again, the Bible said that Jesus made in Himself both Lord and Christ, too, twain. He made in Himself twain. And at the rending of the veil of the natural temple, the physical being of Jesus was rent. And there was a thing that spiritually took place, where the Lord was separated from the Christ, and the veil was rent in twain. For He made in Himself twain. And the Bible said, when Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days," they thought that He was speaking of the natural building. And they knew not that He was speaking of His own body. And so His body was rent in twain as the Spirit was separated from the body. As the Bible said, the Spirit, leaving the body, goeth back to God who gave it at death. And when we yield up the Spirit, then the body is dead without the Spirit. But the veil of the temple being rent in twain, that is to say, the Lord separated from the Christ. The body separated from the Christ. There we see this great, wonderful thing take place, as to be called the revealing of the innermost Christ, or the revelation of the Son of God. The revelation. So then, it is a great hour that we're living in, and some great things is taking place. And the coming of the Lord is at hand. And He will return in His natural body, just as He went away. But the secret coming of Christ, as to the rent veil, as Christ to the Gentiles, Jesus to the Jews, as that revelational opening of that seal that we spoke of, as Jesus died, so died the Jews. As to the King of the Jews, as Pilate said, when Jesus died, so died the Jews. And they went out of the presence of God, and they've been in darkness ever since. And they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And Paul, receiving a revelation, said, "If the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life of the dead?" And remember, already the Pope has turned to the Jews, saying, "Thou art our elder brother," which means something great and mighty is taking place. Now, some of you understand what I'm saying, because we have expounded a little bit from the sacred desk, and in private we've talked to you concerning what that had to do with the Pope doing that, and what Paul meant by his statement as to the revelation that he received, in that he said he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ I preached a few nights ago? Well, let's read just a tiny bit here where it says, chapter 1, first chapter, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It starts off, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And that was the thing that I emphasized when I talked to you before about it, is that at the time of the revelation of Jesus Christ, it is said that the time is at hand. All right, I want to read just a little bit in chapter 10. "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not.
The angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So then again we bring you back to the seventh verse of the tenth chapter. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now when we say the mystery of God, Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. He said, great is the mystery of God, and I am made a steward of those mysteries. Those mysteries of God are great and mighty. And the things that Jesus did, the Bible said, had a book been written to try to contain the things that Jesus did or that he'd done while he was in this world, that the whole world itself could not contain the books. So then, the mystery of God is great, and the mystery of God is mighty. And we are filled with the Spirit of God for the purpose that God might, through us, that is the Spirit of God, might tutor our spirit, in that Paul said we're under tutors until the time appointed of the Father, that he might bring us into these deep mysteries of God. For the Bible said, the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. And then he tells us that we should pray as the church, if we are believers, if we love the Lord, that we should pray as the church that God would grant unto us the spirit of revelation. May God grant unto the church the spirit of revelation. And Paul set the order of the church as being the overseer of the Gentile church of today. And he said, when you come together, you should have a doctrine. You should have a tongue. He said, you should have a revelation. So then in the order of the church, we should have these things. We should have a doctrine that's sound, that's biblical, that's right on the Word of God. And then we should have revelation. When we come together, we should have a revelation of the Word of God, that we might understand the Word of God. For as God said to Solomon, with all of your wisdom, you need to get understanding. We need an understanding. Someone would say, it doesn't matter, Brother Pike, whether you have an understanding or not, as long as you have the Word of God and you know that's what the Bible says. But that's wrong. See, the Bible said the wicked will not understand. So if you don't have an understanding, it means that you are not yet born to the Spirit of Christ. For the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord shall be upon him, speaking of Christ. And everyone that hath the Spirit of Christ, the Bible said he shall be of a good understanding. So then we see the revelation of Jesus Christ. We see the great mysteries of God that he speaks of. And the Bible said at the sounding of the last trump, then the mystery of God should be finished. And we're moving now toward the sounding of the last trump. We're moving into the age of the coming of the Lord. And we're moving into this wonderful age that Paul spoke of, where he said, we shall not all sleep. He said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, even when the dead in Christ raise up. So then there's a great mystery, Paul said. He said, I'd love to speak unto you as unto spirituals, that you might understand these mysteries. He said, but seeing that you're bathed in Christ, he said, I can't do that. You'll just have to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you might grow thereby. And so then Paul, the great revelator, having been caught up into the third heaven,
He said, I saw things that is not that I cannot utter. It's not permissible for me to tell you. So then Paul said, there is a great mystery. There is a way that men can bypass the grave. There is a way that men can go past the grave and not have to be put in the grave. He said, there's coming a time when this great mystery will be made known. And men will bypass the grave. He said, for this great mystery tells me that we shall not all sleep. That is, he said, as Jesus said concerning Lazarus, he sleepeth. I go to awake him. We shall not all sleep, he said, but we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, from mortality to immortality, from this terrestrial body to a celestial body. We'll be changed, he said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. How can this be? By the revelation of the Son of God, by the revealing of the mind of Christ, revealing to us day by day his wonderful blessings, and making known to us the glories and blessings of God that he gave to us in Christ Jesus before the world ever was. For we are God's very own. We are the predestinated of God. We're those that God has in his foreknowledge predestinated unto good works. And the Bible said, ye are God's elect, and no one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. For he hath elected you unto grace by foreknowledge. For the Bible said, them that he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son. And them that he predestinated, he also called. Them that he called, he justified. And them that he justified, the Bible said he also glorified. Or that is, he sanctified us, he justified us, sanctified us, and he glorified us. And the Bible said he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That makes me feel good to know that I'm sanctified by the body of Jesus. For the Bible said the faith by which I'm sanctified. And then it speaks of this, of that faith, God giving me that faith, sanctifying me by that faith, and then telling me that he hath made perfect forever them that are sanctified. So then we're sanctified by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus. The faith of Christ himself has come into our heart. He hath cleansed, he hath purified, and because of this, God, through the finished works of Christ, hath made us perfect forever. And the Bible said, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Which means from the time that we're born again, that the devil never at any time touches us. Never. He may harass our minds, he may cause us problems in the flesh, but our spirit has gone back to God who gave it because of the death of the body of the Lord Jesus. And that spirit is sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of the redemption of the body. And the devil never at any time touches that spirit. It's holy, it's godly, it's pure, and it's sealed away so that Satan cannot cause us to sin. He that is born of God, the Bible tells us, he cannot sin because he is born of God. Therefore the seed of God remaineth in us, and he cannot sin. It doesn't say he may not sin. It doesn't say if he tries hard, he won't sin. It says he cannot sin because he is born of God, and the seed of God remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he is made perfect forever. He is justified, he is sanctified, he is glorified, he is thus perfected forever, and God has received him into the heavenly places. So then tonight, when we talk about the revelation of the Son of God, or the deep hidden mysteries of Christ, or the mind of God, or we talk about the finishing of the mysteries, then we know that we're living in an hour when the mysteries of God are going to be finished. I've said this a number of times. When did this trumpet sound? If you'll read real carefully, it said, and this trumpet sounded, and when it sounded in 11:15, it sounded. In 10:7, it said it would sound. In 11:15, the Bible said, and it did sound. And the Bible said, when it sounded, there was voices that said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. It's obvious that the sounding of that trump in 11:15 had to be in the end of the world. Because at that time, the declaration was that the kingdoms of this world, not the kingdoms of God, already have the kingdom of God. The Bible said, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and men pressed their way into it. And the Bible said that the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. Already have the Spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God. So then God rules all things through Christ. Already have that on my, in the inside of my heart. So I'm not talking about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven becoming that will be in control to God. He already controls that. But the Bible said the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And so then the great Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is on the verge of coming back right now and taking the kingdoms of this world. This is why that you and I have to really get down to business. Because God is depending on us to be the vessel or the instrument of use. He is expecting to take the kingdoms of this world through you and I. But the Bible said Satan shall wear out the saints of God, and then the saints of God shall rise and take the kingdom, and they'll possess it forever and ever. So then God is trying to use you as an instrumentality to bring about this great, wonderful power in the earth, or this great, wonderful conquest. So then I'm happy tonight because I am a Christian. I'm happy because my eyes are open, my eyes of understanding. I'm happy because, as Paul said, the much revelation of God is in my heart. And the great mysteries have been revealed to me. And today my heart is filled up and overflowing with the great, wonderful mysteries of God. I'm glad because of that, because in my early life I didn't have that. In my early life I had a doctrine. I learned a doctrine. I abided by the doctrine of Christ. The Bible said if you're of God, you'll abide by the doctrine of Christ. And if you transgress the doctrine of Christ, then you don't belong to Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so then at an early age, I got started into this. And God filled my heart with the Holy Ghost. Filled my mind with the mysteries of God. And quickened my body by His mortal being. Quickened my mortal being by His power. Or by His immortality. A power that came into me to change me. God is changing my body from mortality to immortality, from this terrestrial state of being to the celestial being. And God is filling my mind with the mind of Christ and filling my heart with the thoughts of the Lord Jesus. And God is showing me those heavenly things, like in the vision I saw when I looked and I said, look at those things in heaven. And I saw the beautiful things in heaven. And every day of my life, I walk with the Lord. And more, the mysteries of God are unveiled to me. What a beautiful experience it is to walk in the Spirit every day of your life. The Bible said if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. I brought out a message a few nights ago, and I expounded how that you are in the flesh or in the Spirit. I detailed it as to how you can tell which one you're in. And many of you understood what I was saying. And I brought out the message concerning perfection, how that right now we're already in that perfect place. And we've got a minister that's here with us that said as long as he'd been with us all this time, he'd never understood until that message came forth the other night. And he said, I understand what this is. And said, I understand that thing. So then you might hear, but see, having ears, you might hear not. That is to say, having ears, you hear not. That is, you hear my voice, but you don't hear the Spirit, what He is saying to the churches. You might see, but you might see according to the flesh, and you might judge according to the flesh. The Bible said, having eyes ye see, and yet ye see not. Jesus said, I see the Father. I do always the things that please the Father. And if you're to see me, you're not to judge me after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm to judge you after the Spirit, because we've been born again. We're dead by the body of the Lord Jesus to the world, and the world is dead to us by the body of the Lord Jesus. So we're dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. We're buried in water baptism in the lovely name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're brought forth in the newness of life, though we be under tutors until the time appointed of the Father. Yet it is a true fact that we are born again. And this part I like. I'm not waiting to become a son of God. I'm already a son of God. I'm not planning to become a son of God. I'm already a son of God. John said, now, beloved, are you the sons of God. It does not appear what ye shall be like. But we're already sons of God. And this is the thing that's important. We're not waiting to pass from death unto life. We've already passed from death unto life. For the Bible said, we shall never come into condemnation, and ye have passed from death unto life. So that I'm not waiting to pass from death unto life. I'm already passed from death unto life. I'm not waiting to get into heaven. I'm already in heaven. And Jesus said to Nicodemus when he was talking to him, being a leader of Israel, you know not these things, he said. Ye say that ye are a leader of Israel and ye know not these things. And then he said to him, he said, no man has ever ascended up into heaven, he said, except the Son of Man which came down from heaven. And he looked at Nicodemus and he said, the Son of Man which is in heaven. That is to say, while Jesus was standing there talking to Nicodemus, he said, I came down from heaven. I'm the one, and I am in heaven. That is, I've never come out of heaven. I've always been in heaven. I'm still in heaven. I'm in the presence of my heavenly Father. And so it is with you and I. The last man, Adam, being made a quickening spirit, and the Bible said, as he is, so are we in him. Which means that we pass from death unto life. And the Bible said to you and I, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. Ye that are dwelling in heaven, rejoice ye, he said. Rejoice forevermore. You're sitting together in those heavenly places. I made you to sit together, the Bible said, in those heavenly places. And so then you've been caught up, you've been translated in your spirit into the marvelous kingdom of heaven, which kingdom is within you. And your spirit is no more in the kingdom of the world. But it is the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of heaven. And if your spirit is not in the kingdom of heaven, then that means your spirit is still in the earth. You still hunger. You still thirst for the things of the earth. And the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father is not there. If you still have the hunger and thirst for the things of the world, then the love of God isn't in you. Because your spirit is still in the earth. It hungers and thirsts after the things of the earth. But when you're born again, your spirit is translated into the kingdom of God. For the Bible said the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom has been preached and men pressed their way into the kingdom. So then, against the evil powers that confront our mind, the accusation, the ever accusing one, we press against it, and by faith in God's word, we enter into the Spirit of Christ. So my spirit is in the Spirit of Christ, which is the kingdom of God. And the Bible said, for God hath already, right now, translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. So your inner man, your spiritual man, is in the kingdom of God. He's sealed. He can't sin. He's there in heaven. Though the body is here, the Bible said, the body profiteth nothing, the flesh profiteth nothing. You're not to look at the flesh. You're not to know anybody after the flesh. The Bible said, the flesh profiteth nothing. You're to realize that you've been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, and your inner man, as Paul spoke of it, is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. And your inner spirit, having been translated into the wonderful mind of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ is resting in God. The Bible said that God brings us into His rest. He spoke of them in the wilderness that died, in the wilderness wandering. And today the tabernacle of the human being is still wandering through the wilderness of your intellectual reasoning. And many hundreds and thousands of people and millions of people across the world are dying in that wilderness wandering. But see, God is also bringing someone out. And He's bringing someone into the mind of Christ. Which tabernacle is in heaven? Peter said, if we've borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. He said, if this tabernacle be dissolved, I have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. It's obvious that this one is of Adam, but this one must be dissolved. For Peter said, the heavens being on fire, that even the elements shall be dissolved. And I'm composed of the elements as the outer man. I'm just a constituted being of atomic particles. And this must be dissolved. It's just a matter of, as Einstein said, of matter and energy. And this thing has to be dissolved. And the heavens will be dissolved. And the Bible teaches this. But if this tabernacle be dissolved, that is to say, if my innermost being is tabernacling in this body, in that Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I feel it that I should stir up your pure mind. If the Christ is tabernacling in this body, if my spirit is tabernacling in this body, then if this is the earthly tabernacle of the first man, Adam, the Bible said if this one be dissolved, then there is another one. Another one. This is the image of the earthly. I'll bear the image of the heavenly. There is another tabernacle eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. That body is the body of the Lord Jesus. It's an eternal body. It's passed through the fire. It's called the raiment that was put through the fire. I counsel of you, he said, to buy of me raiment that's tried in the fire. That is, to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So then it's obvious that that body which is in heaven is the body of the Lord Jesus. And God, seeing me, not as I am right now, but seeing me as a finished product in Christ, for the Bible says we're complete in Christ, or in Him, and as He is, so are we in Christ. So then God, seeing me as a finished body, He sees me as a glorified body. He has in His foreknowledge glorified me, justified me, saved me, cleansed me from all sin, saved me from my sin, and set me apart in a sanctification for His own use. I know that I have to sanctify myself daily. But the sanctification of this daily sanctification is so that I can stay in the mind of Christ, put away the things of the world, be exclusively clean for Christ as a virgin, that I might be used of God. But it has nothing to do with my salvation. The salvation that I have, He sanctified me once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and perfected me forever. So then I see that other body eternal in the heaven. That other tabernacle eternal in the heavens. If I have this one dissolved, then I have that one. Not that I desire to be unclothed, as the writer said. I don't desire to be unclothed, but I desire to be clothed upon with the body of Jesus, with that house from heaven, that eternal one, to where we don't have the misery, we don't have the problems, we don't have the accusation of mind, we don't have the harassment of mind. I desire to be clothed upon with that house from heaven, which Thessalonians tells me that I will have. Paul in his revelation said at the sounding of the last trump, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'll be changed like that from mortality to immortality. That is, I'll put off this robe of flesh, I'll put off this tabernacle, and I'll take on that tabernacle, and I won't have to sleep. If I'm living at that time, I won't have to go by the way of the grave. I can have that wonderful eternal change that God speaks of. It is an eternal change, because once I put on that body, that is immortality. That's an eternal body, and it'll never die. So then we see what God is saying by the wonderful revelation of the Son of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I say this again, that Christ alone was made heir to the glory of God. And if you don't have Christ in you, you cannot belong to Him. Because the only hope I have of that glory is Christ on the inside of me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is to say, He alone is heir to the glory. He is the seed of the promise. If I have Him in my heart, then I am heir to the promise. Then I have hope of that glory that He appeared in on the mount when He appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah. I have hope of that glory, but if I don't get that Christ on the inside of me, I don't have hope of that glory. So then, the glory of God on the inside of me, I'm changing from glory to glory. I'm transformating in my mind. Paul said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'm being transformed every day. I meditate in these laws day and night. I cast down imagination. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, till I can come to the place to where I can say, as Paul, it's not me living, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. So then, this is the wonderful thing to be a Christian and to have the knowledge of God. We come to church to grow in the grace of God. We come to church to grow in the knowledge of God. And that's why I repeat these things to you. And this is why I preach these things to you. See that you might give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. And that you might take heed how that you hear them, that you won't become critical and misconstrue what God is saying. The Bible said, with the minister speaking, it's not him speaking, but God speaking from within him. But all of the world keep silent, because we're the temples of the living God. Your body is the temple of the living God, and God is in His temple, and God is speaking. So then God is tutoring, God is telling us, God is teaching us. We're under tutors until the time appointed to the Father. But there's one thing about it. Though we have trials and though we have problems, the Bible said in all of these things we're more than conquerors through Christ that loved us and gave His life for us. That is to say, whatever Jesus did for us, that is enough. That is sufficient. Whatever God did for us through Christ made us perfect, giving us, the Bible said, all things that pertain unto life, which made us whole, and God has completed us in Him. The Bible said we are complete in Christ Jesus. We are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to be alive in this age. It's wonderful to be approaching this wonderful knowledge, coming into this great tutoring that we might have eternal life and bypass the grave. Up from the grave he arose, the songwriter said, a mighty triumph over his foe. So then tonight, we speak of the wonderful things of God. We speak of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been exhorting you now for a number of days, just kind of exhorting you, talking to you, kind of personal like, because God is fixing to do something. There's something outstanding fixing to happen to the nations. It's going to happen, it's going to affect the presidency. When I saw Mr. Reagan come down, the Lord dealt with me just before Mr. Reagan come down to visit with Mr. Carter. And I said, Lord, Mr. Reagan coming down to Atlanta, Georgia? He coming to Georgia? And something dealt with me. And I said, there's something happening. And about three times in a row he came into Georgia. When he came to Mr. Carter, the Lord spoke to me and let me know that was the ending of the Reagan administration. And that was the ending of a great cycle, and things have begun to move back toward Jimmy Carter and move in the favor of Mr. Carter, and so it has been. And I understand since that time there has been a real rippling of the water, to the extent that some have said that it even looks like they might even attempt to impeach Mr. Reagan because of the Iran situation, which is a real pathetic sort of a thing, because it was through the weakness of Jimmy's efforts toward Iran that Mr. Reagan gained strength. And all of a sudden now Mr. Reagan apparently is losing strength through the same thing as Jimmy regained strength. But you can be sure that something is taking place, something outstanding is taking place. We don't have time to elaborate on it tonight. We've said quite a few things about it on other tapes at other times. But I'd like to say this. I tonight personally would like to have took just about 40 minutes to went into the present day revelation of what's happening concerning the Pope and Mr. Carter and many of the others. And I've sought for an anointing, or I've sought for an atmosphere to where I could talk to you about it. But so far I haven't found it. And I've just kind of stuck with these things. Maybe one night it will be there. Or maybe one morning. A lot of times people's minds are fresh on Sunday morning. And that gives us a better time and a better chance. So, I love the Lord. How many love the Lord? Let me see him. Let's stand together and sing another little chorus together. I'm just exhorting you a little bit tonight. Cold and rainy outside. Hope these things will find a lodging place within your heart and within your mind. And don't let this be like it was at the coming of the birth of Christ. We're approaching the Christmas season right now. The coming of the Lord, the Bible said, and there was no room for him in the inn. Don't let it be said of you that there's no room for him in your heart. He is the Word. He's the revelation. He's the great understanding. He's the mighty mind of Almighty God. And in that end, he is seeking to place that within your heart. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So then it's through this mind that we conceive. It is through this mind as to the concepts of his thoughts that causes us to think as God. And it's through this great God mind that we change the mortality. That is, we change these bodies from this mortal being to immortality. It is through his thoughts, through his divine mind. Or if he is divine, and if that was the mind that was made flesh, as to God being the Word in the beginning, and then being made flesh, if we have that royal blood through our veins, and we have that mind of Christ in our heart, then it's going to do the same thing to this body that it did to that body when Jesus came. So it's so wonderful to be a Christian. So thrilling, it's so exciting. I never found anything like it. Scientists, falsely so-called, Paul said, it sounds good out there in the world in their intellectual realms of defining things, you know, and ever learning and never coming to a knowledge that's truth. But we found the truth knowledge. And today they
they emphatically declare that there's some kind of a something going on up there in the heavens, and day after tomorrow they have made a new discovery, and they emphatically declare that they was wrong about their definition, and it's a wilderness, you know, and they never come to the truth. But folks, we've got the truth. We don't need fiction, and we don't need theory, and we don't need theology. We need Christ. We need a real, genuine neology, and we need a real conviction. If you've got facts, you don't need theory. So why mess with theory when you got facts? I admit that people that don't have facts, they need theory. But we don't need theory because we have facts. This is the proven, vindicated Word of God down through the years. It's the only authentic thing that is the absolute in the earth. There's absolutely nothing else that is an absolute in the earth. And if you found your mind on anything else, you're building on the sands. Ideology, fiction, education, money, powers, prestige, fame, popularity, whatever it is, that's the sands. But folks, the Bible said God is a rock. Who is a rock but our God? In the beginning was God, and God was made flesh. God, the Word, in the beginning, God, the rock. Peter, upon this rock, your discovery. I build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So then, today, he says to you and I that we're not the gates of hell. Ye are the gates of heaven. Lift up your heads, ye everlasting gates, and the King of glory shall come in. But he says to the world, you're the gates of hell. As a suck hole, you pull people into your intellectual wilderness, wandering to go down into the slime pits, as we would say, as in the days of Moses. That is, you pull them down by your conversation into the very bellies of hell. Ye gates of hell, ye shall not prevail against this, he said. Upon this rock, for heaven and earth shall pass away, but the rock, the Word, shall not pass away. And sure enough, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that the Ancient of Days came, the great light came, and the heavens suddenly passed away. And the stars fell from heaven, and the earth, the Bible said, there's no place found for the mountains, and there was no place found for the seas. So then heaven and earth passed away. But the great rock of Gibraltar, even the Lord Jesus Christ, he alone dwelling in that light, didn't pass away. He stayed there. He's still there today. He's in my heart. So the Bible said we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Let's sing together, can we? Sing the chorus, I love it. I love him. I love him, all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it with me again. I love you. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book. Sing it again. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Do you love the Lord? Sing it one more time. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in His Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Oh, come into my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. The altars are open if you'd like to come. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You love Jesus? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. You love the Lord? God is so good, there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Let's sing another chorus, can we? Let's sing the chorus, "Sweep Over My Soul." Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me, folks. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved. Can you sing it again? For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest that may sweep out over the wild adorn me deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Would you like to come to the Lord tonight? As we sing this other little chorus, would you like to come tonight? Let's sing the song, Let Tomorrow Be Tomorrow. Sister. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Sing it again. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Somebody say praise the Lord. You love the Lord? How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. To come into that wonderful place called glory. This morning you gathered around. We gave a dedication as to a new way of life with God. As to a new thing with God. I wonder if you're going to stand by it. I wonder if you're really going to stand by it. While we're standing here thinking on Jesus, the Bible said examine yourselves. A lot of times you can examine yourself that way. You don't have to go to the doctors. Examine yourselves and see if you are in the faith. I say in the faith. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You may be a believer. The Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. That don't mean you've got anything. But faith is not mere believing. Faith which brings salvation comes by the hearing of the Word of God. As to what the Word of God has said, if you believe it, the writer said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my conviction in the Word by what I practice. Jesus said, draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. And like I said the other day when they published the article where all of the people was coming together, and they spoke of the Mohammedan religion, and they spoke of Confucius, and they spoke of the different religions around the world, and they spoke of all people of all faith coming together. All faiths. I made the statement, I said, that could never be. It's not possible. Because in the first place, those paganistic practices, they are a religion, all right, but not faith. You can't call them a faith. It is not people of all faith coming together. Those are heathenistic powers coming together. And they cannot come together with the faith. For the Bible says there's one faith, even the faith of the Word, even the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Contend for that faith that was once delivered unto the saints. They cannot come together with this faith, for light hath no fellowship with darkness. And those people are into intellectual darkness. They're intellectual reasoning. God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness unto light. Paul was a great intellectual power of darkness. Human reasoning, the tree of knowledge, the old thing that happened in the garden, the fall, Lucifer. See, science, falsely so called. Said Paul, I count all my learning as dung. I'm determined to know nothing but Christ. Christ. So then the light. Ye are children of light. That day should not come upon you unaware. But as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the earth. For they shall not know. For they shall not see when good cometh. For Lucifer, Satan, even the prince of darkness hath blinded their eyes. Even their eyes of understanding. That they should not see when good cometh. But ye are God's children.
Ye are of a good understanding. Ye are children of light. Ye know when it's nigh, even at the door. So then, while we're standing here tonight, sing another chorus. And while we're singing this chorus, why don't you just come down and let's rededicate our lives as we did this morning. I think it would be real good. As we sing this together, we sing that song, we think about Calvary, and we sing that song of the sufferings of Christ. I'll go with Him through the garden. Let's sing that together, Calvin. I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him through the garden. And I'll go with Him all the way. For where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. And I'll go with Him all the way. He will give me His grace and His glory. He will give me His grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory, and He'll go with me, with me. I sing the song, He will give me His grace and His glory. He will give me His grace and His glory. I like what the Bible says. The Bible said, in His glory He will not give to another. He will not give His glory to another. But I'm glad that we're not another. Glory to God. Ain't you glad you're not another? The Bible said, we're bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Not you living, but Christ. He will not give His glory to another. But in that we're not another, in that we're not another, Jesus said, Father, give them My glory. He said, glorify these with the same glory I had with Thee before the world ever was. Because we're not another. Ain't you glad tonight?
Amen.
What is that hope of glory on the inside of you? Christ. Christ, isn't that right? You have a hope of His glory. Because the Bible said, the things of God knoweth no man. It just knows Christ. It won't come to no man. It'll come to Christ. If you got Christ on the inside, it'll come to Christ. Isn't that right? He will give me His grace and His glory. Hallelujah. He will give me His grace and His glory. Oh, He will give me of His grace and of His glory. For He'll go with me, all the way. One more time, where He leads me, I
will follow where He leads me. I will follow, for where He leads me, I will follow, and I'll go with Him, with Him. All the way. Let's just lift our hands up now and close our eyes. God, the wonderful Spirit, the eternal one that comes into our life and into our hearts. Don't you want eternal life? If you've never made the great commitment, make the commitment to Him. For the Bible said, I'm persuaded to believe that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that great day. And if you've never committed your soul to Him, your spirit to Him, Jesus said, into thy hands, Father, I'll commit my spirit, or I'll commend my spirit in to thy presence. So into thine hands, I'll commit my spirit. Can you say with Jesus tonight, Heavenly Father, into thine hands I commit my spirit. Hallelujah. The spirit goeth back to God who gave at death. And the Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, dead unto the world by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and alive unto God, as through the resurrection. For He was delivered for my offenses, in that I'd sinned against God, and He was delivered again for my justification, in that God perfected me forever through the finished works of Jesus Christ. So then tonight, can you lift up your hands and say, Father, into thine hands I commit my spirit. I believe that it is sealed until the day of the redemption of my body. And I believe that through Christ and your finished works, by faith, I'm able to keep myself, and the evil one will never touch me. That I may be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. That you may return after that church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. Standing here as a minister tonight, Paul said, we're set here for the perfecting of your faith, that you might hear the word and believe in the wonderful words of Jesus. So tonight, if you love Him, lift up your hands, close your eyes, commit your spirit to His trust and into His confidence. And if you've never made that commitment tonight, make that commitment. Remember, the altar is your heart. And on the basis of that tonight, your heart, let your spirit go out to Jesus and believe in Him tonight.